Welcome to Game On Business Talk Radio with your host, Dr. D. Anthony Miles. Our program is not afraid to discuss controversial business ideas and topics. Get ready for an unfiltered discussion of problems and solutions that today's businesses, large or small, face daily. Now, here's Dr. D. Anthony Miles.
Hi, this is Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles. We have an awesome show for you today. Get some coffee and have a seat. You're going to need a bottle and a seatbelt. This is Game On Business Talk Radio on nationally syndicated radio. We have a wonderful guest for our show today, and our topic today is on divorce and mental health. And our guest today is Shante Thompson, founder of Inspiring Hope Counseling Services, LLC. Shante is a founder of Inspiring Hope Counseling, and she has been doing this for a while. And she's a licensed mental health counselor in Florida and Georgia, specializing in strengthening the family unit and helping families of separation and divorce to grow and heal. She's also a best-selling author, and she'll have to tell us more about her book. Shante has an MS or MA in mental health and counseling from Walden University and a BA in psychology from Florida International University. So I want to welcome our guest today, Shante Thompson, founder of Inspiring Hope Counseling Services at How you doing today? I want to say the morning, but how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here with you today.
We got to talk, Shante. We got a lot of stuff going on in the news. People divorce, people's affecting their kids, and this is one of the shows that I've been waiting for all week. My goodness, yes. You're like the voice of reason.
Well, let's definitely get to it.
Tell the audience something about yourself and your business real quick. I like to let the guests tell something about themselves, the audience, you know. Go ahead.
Well, definitely. Like you mentioned, I am the founder and lead clinician at Inspiring Hope Counseling Services. I am passionate about helping families who have experienced separation and divorce to be able to heal and grow from what they've been through to have healthy relationships moving forward. So I want them to be able to work within their own family, strengthening their own family when it comes to blended families, when it comes to single home families, and just helping them to know how to work together and helping children to not be affected as much so they're also able to have healthy relationships moving forward.
Oh, interesting. Let's get right into it. I've been waiting for this all week. Shante, tell us, why is mental health and divorce, why is it so important? And I definitely got to get your take on this. Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, mental health overall is so important. When it comes to our physical, mental, spiritual, emotional health, we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. Right? And if we are in an unhealthy relationship, then that is affecting us in every aspect of our lives. So that's why when we put them both together, it's super important that we're paying attention, that we're holding ourselves accountable for how we're being treated and how others are treating themselves and treating us.
That's really interesting. I just saw the news this morning here in San Antonio, and there was a case that's all over the local media where this lady and her husband had divorced, and I guess the husband wouldn't leave her alone, and she had tried to file a restraining order against him with the police. You know, she did all the right things, and then the guy found her somewhere, and he shot her and killed her, and then about a week later, he was hiding from the police, and he went and killed himself, and they found him in a wooded area. Can you please give us your clinician opinion about a situation like that? Please.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, it sounds like, because I'm not familiar with this, but it sounds like he didn't want anyone else to have her if he couldn't have her either, which is extremely toxic type of a relationship. So she herself saw that she was in a toxic situation, and she did everything that she can do to get out of it. There are different safe houses. There are different plans that must be put in place when you are seeing that you're leaving a toxic relationship. So having a safety plan, having an exit strategy of how you're going to be able to help yourself, if there's children involved, how you're going to be able to help them all to stay safe. If you have family or friends or a support system or going to a safe house, all of these things can help you in those type of situations. Now, this guy, he wasn't taking no for an answer, and he basically, it was detrimental to everyone involved. So there were things for himself that he wasn't accepting, and with that, he made the ultimate decision to end everyone's lives.
That is a great insight from you. And one of the things that bothers me about this particular case is this, and I'm quite sure they have children. They didn't mention the children. You are tormenting those kids' lives for the rest of their life, because not only did you take out their mother, which they are probably closer to, you took out you killed yourself, so they don't have either parent. And
right.
What do you do in the aftermath of somebody, you know, when you're dealing with the kids? I mean, have you seen cases like that with some of your clients? Why won't these men just, if a woman doesn't want to be with you, just, you know, let it go? The best you can do is try to retool and go out there and, you know, be a better person. You lost out. What's the problem with this, the mental health issue aside of, why do you see this as a problem?
Well, I mean, we need to make sure that we're paying attention to the history of relationships that each of these individuals see growing up. What was the family life like, the family dynamics of their parents, of their grandparents? What type of relationships were they seeing? Because this also shapes the type of relationships that they're going to have moving forward. So that can play a role in his actions or in each of our actions when we're in a relationship. Yes, he needs, we all need to know that boundaries in a relationship is important. So when we're setting healthy boundaries and holding each other accountable to them, it helps us to be in a better state of mind.
Yes, that's unfortunate. I've been saying this all along. You'll probably agree with me on this. When you take somebody's life, when you kill somebody, you actually kill yourself, because your life is hell after that. And a lot, these men, and especially when you have children, they don't want another man around their children. They don't want their ex-wives or divorcing wives to go out and live their life thereafter. And it's unfortunate that these children lost both of their parents. And do you see a lot of this? I mean, have you ever been involved with cases, you know, that you saw signs that maybe this man might do something like that? I mean, tell me your...
Well, I don't deal a lot with domestic violence, per se, when it comes to relationships. That's something that very much does happen, but I refer out if it's something that's too toxic.
Right.
But when it comes to children, it's helping them to understand understand the dynamics of their family, what healing looks like, how to not blame themselves, because children, both of their parents, they put up on a pedestal, and they see them as perfect individuals. So when they're understanding that it's the parents that are not getting along and that it's better for them not to be together, but it doesn't take away from the love that they have for their children. And just helping children to better understand that helps everyone overall. And then just having a safe, secure environment, because children need continued structure, continued love, because they can feel the tension with their parents even if they're in separate homes.
It's unfortunate, and you definitely gave a great point on it. It's unfortunate that the children have to witness 12 rounds of boxing every day. You know, it's some people that just should not be married. I guess, you know, when you're high school sweethearts, then everything is, you know, peachy. And then after you have children, people grow apart. And the children see that, and, you know, who wants to come home to a toxic environment where the mom and dad are arguing every day? I mean, I remember I used to get really scared and get stomach aches when my parents would argue, because I thought they were going to get a divorce. And it used to, it would upset me really bad. And I could imagine some children that you have to work with in your practice, because that's the child's worst nightmare, the parents getting divorced. And, and those kids never recover from that, do you think? Tell me your opinion on that.
They can definitely recover from it. Children are resilient. We all can be extremely resilient. So although divorce affects us, it's extremely traumatic for everyone involved. But we can heal from it. We can grow from it. We can have healthy relationships moving forward. So to kind of go back a little bit with what you were saying with high school sweethearts and growing apart, many times we are not doing the work to build healthy relationships. I developed something called a relationship risk assessment that helps people that once they start to get into a relationship, they can actually assess their risk of having a healthy relationship before they get too far into this relationship. So it's important that we take the time to get to know our partners, that we take the time to pay attention to the patterns that we're seeing, that we're not ignoring red flags, that we are on the same page with our finances, with our sexual preferences, with our parenting styles, with our values. Like, all of these things matter. And so many times we're on cloud nine that we don't pay attention to the deep, important things. And then once we're in this relationship and these things start to come up, now it's a problem. And now we don't want to be together anymore. And we're saying that we're growing apart when the foundation was not laid. So that's first important, that we're laying a really strong and good foundation, but then that we're continuing to do the work so we can have a healthy relationship moving forward.
Oh, that's a really interesting point. Oh, wow. Goodness, that was a great point. I want to piggyback on something you said. When you say people, I think you said parenting styles, that is a big problem in relationships, because you always got the cool parent, you got the other parent that's the disciplinarian. And give me your thoughts on that, Shantae. What's your thoughts about that? Why is that a problem?
Okay, well, conversation, communication is really what's needed, because we all first, like I said before, because of how we're raised, we're going to approach life in a certain way. And now when we're coming together with someone else and we're raising our children, we need to be able to be on the same page. And yes, we are going to have different parenting styles, but it's about that respect factor, right? And the fact that we are not going to disrespect our partner's parenting style in front of our children, that our children are seeing that we're not on the same page. So coming up with a plan of who's going to discipline, or what are the rules, and how are we going to hold our children accountable? What type of rewards and consequences are we going to put in place? What's acceptable, what's not acceptable? And when we're able to, even with our different parenting styles, come to some type of common ground together and have that moving forward and raise our children in that way, that's what's going to help our children to have that structure that's needed.
No, that's interesting, because I know I tend to be the jerk parent. I'm the one that's real strict. And I always get with a young lady who has a different parent style than me. It's, especially when I was married. You ever heard that saying? We used to have a saying about management. There's two types of management. Submission. Okay. And that's how parenting styles are. Either you're all the way to the right or you're all the way to the left. Okay. Parenting styles can be a big problem between, you know, two people that are married. While we hold that thought, we got to take our first break. We'll be right back. Okay. This is Game On Business Talk with D'Anthony Miles. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned in to Game On Business Talk Radio with Dr. D'Anthony Miles. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're back. This is Game On Business Talk with D'Anthony Miles. Let us continue our discussion on divorce and mental health. We have a wonderful guest today, Shantae Thompson, founder of Inspiring Hope LLC. Shantae, let's pick up back where we're talking about mental health and divorce, and we're talking about parenting styles. With some of your clients, has that been a really big problem, or the clash of the two partners or the two parents, the conflict with parenting styles? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I definitely I work with all of my clients on parenting styles because that's so important, especially when you see that they are now divorced or separated in separate homes and they're raising children, and children are now having one set of rules in one home and another set of rules in another home, and parents want to be able to control what's happening in the other parent's home because of what used to happen in their one home. So I definitely work with them independently to make sure that we set some rules, rewards, and consequences in place that we're able to hold our kids accountable, have some type of structure. So I explain to them the four parenting styles, which is permissive, uninvolved, authoritative, and authoritarian. So once I explain each of them to them, then they're able to understand where they currently are and where they would like to be. Most parents that lacks the structure in the home are more permissive or uninvolved. And then the parents that just parent with that iron rod and it's my way or the highway, I'm not trying to hear anything that you have to say, you just have to listen to me, that's authoritarian. So we try and get them to understand authoritative, where you have the high expectations, there's some flexibility, but children are definitely held accountable and it's structured. So when parents understand the different parenting styles and understand which ones they are, they are able to work together a little bit better and work in the home a little better as well.
That, you know, and I like what you said, because you said a lot of it goes back to your upbringing, and a lot of us bring our upbringing to our relationships. I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to ask you, what are some concerns about divorce and mental health? What's your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What's some common misconceptions about divorce and mental health?
Common misconceptions, for sure. One of the common misconceptions is it's better to stay together for the children. We hear that so often. And that's a misconception because, like I said earlier, children can feel the tension in the home. And the type of relationship that you're having, be it if you are roommates or that you're not having a loving household or loving with your spouse, your children are seeing that, and this is the type of relationship that they're going to model moving forward because this is what they know. So we have to be careful of what we're teaching our children a relationship is. If we're not able to respect each other, live lovingly, and have that happening in the home without the tension. And tension can happen even if you're not arguing. You can still feel it in the atmosphere. When you're having difficulty with your partner. So we have to be mindful of all of that when we're in a relationship and when our children are in the home because it's affecting them.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect you to say that because a lot of people, especially if they're Catholic, they do not believe in divorce. Have you had to deal with clients that you dealt with that refuse to divorce when they really should split up because it's actually hurting the children? Have you had to make a recommendation like that or I guess tread lightly about that? What's been your experience with that?
Well, I always meet my clients where they are and I provide them with the education. So it's them, each of them that's making the best decision for their families. I'm giving them the tools that they need. So if I see that they are having certain behaviors that are hurting their children, I'm going to call it out. I'm going to let them know. But then I'm going to help them to know how they can do things different based on the outcome that they desire. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. You know, you don't want to see a family split up because the first thing that happens is it affects the children. And repercussions when the parents split up that you've seen with some of your children that you counsel? What's been some of the things that you've seen in the children, how it affects them?
Okay, well, definitely. It affects, like I said, it affects everyone, but when we speak about our children, you can see that there's anxiety, high anxiety, there's depression, there's adjustment issues, there's behavioral issues, right? So they're trying to make sense of their world. They're trying to make sense of how they fit in if they are contributing to the demise of their family. But then also now they don't know how to feel what they're feeling or even identify what they're feeling. So when it comes to having your children in counseling, it's helping them to regulate their emotions. It's helping them to better identify what they're feeling and then providing them with coping skills, healthy coping skills, so they know how to manage their emotions and even express it in a healthy way.
Oh, that's interesting. I've got to ask you this, Shate. Do you see a difference with the gender of the child, how divorce affects them? Like, do boys experience something different than, say, girls? Tell me what's been your experience with that.
Well, no, and I'll even go a step further to say men and women when it comes to the healing of going through a divorce. So, no, gender doesn't matter. It affects boys and girls. It affects men and women as far as how each of these individuals heal and make sense of their worlds. That can be a little bit different as the journey goes, but no, you're still seeing in everyone the anxiety, the sadness, the adjustment issues, the trying to understand what they're feeling, the grief process, right? So if we understand the five stages of grief, there's denial, there's bargaining, there's anger, there's sadness, there's acceptance. So everyone, children and adults, are going through these five stages when the family goes through a divorce.
Oh, my goodness. I have so many questions to ask you. Now, we have a situation with let me shift gears a little bit because I know you've seen this. When the mother or father starts dating someone new, how does that affect the children post-divorce? Because I've dated women that had children, and they were fresh off of a divorce, and the children automatically just liked me. Tell me what's been your experience with that.
Oh, well, I mean, like I said, we all have a different healing journey, right? But as parents, we have to be the protector of our children, and we have to be mindful of who we're bringing in our children's presence.
Absolutely.
So what's happening when you see children off the rip are just upset or not really liking the person that the parent brings in, it's because they're still trying to heal. They're still trying to understand parents not being together. Because you'll be surprised, many children, it could be 4 or 5 years, and they're still hoping. There's this little piece of them that's hoping that their parents still get back together, right? So by bringing someone else into the mix, this is like that reality of, wait a minute, are my parents really not going to get back together? So now it's easy for them to blame this other person that the parent has brought in to say it's their fault. It's their fault that my parents are not together, right? So it's so important that parents are having conversations with their children on a regular basis, helping their children to first identify what they're feeling, to understand that they're not alone of what they're feeling, that I know us as parents, we're wearing that strong face, right, that strongness that we can take care of it all and we can do it all. But our children need to also know that we are also healing, that it's a process for us too, that they're not alone in this. So if you can find a support group for them so they're able to be with other kids that are also healing, but then that you have a safe and secure dialogue with them. So as they continue to heal, they are able to express to you what they're feeling, what they're thinking. And then as you bring someone else into the mix, have that conversation with them too. How do you feel about me hanging out with so-and-so, and this person really cares about us? And don't just make sure that we're easing into it. It's not something that's just dropped on them.
Man, that was a wonderful response to that question, because that's a really touchy subject right now, and I want to run some things by you. Is this some do's and don'ts when post-divorce parents dating and bringing this other person around their children? Because let me tell you, I've seen situations where, and, you know, I'm just going to go a little crazy, where the women are dating men, they spend the night at the house with the kids, and the guys walk around in his underwear around the kids.
Oh, my. Yikes. Yikes.
Tell me your thoughts about that, because I know you got something to say.
Okay. Well, I'm going to backtrack just a tiny bit, because you asked about do's and don'ts. And the first thing that came to my mind is we need to be careful that when we go through a divorce, that we are not bad-talking the other parents to our children, that we are not having our children carry messages for us. That we are not putting our children in situations that makes them feel uncomfortable, that we are keeping boundaries in place, that our children are able to have healthy relationships with each parent, that we're not telling our children too much, like make sure our children are able to be children and you're not sharing adult information like, yeah, daddy cheated on me or mommy cheated on me or like giving them way too much because on our healing journey we might be bitter or resentful or angry and now we're sharing these things with our kids. We need to be very careful that we're not doing those type of things. So those are major don'ts. Right? It's important that we continue to foster healthy relationships that that our children are feeling safe and secure. So I wanted to make sure that I put that out there. And with what you mentioned, the do's and don'ts for bringing someone else into the mix, just making sure that we ourselves are in a place that we truly trust this other individual that we're bringing into our children's lives, because we need to be so careful when it comes to anyone violating our children. We need to make sure that anyone that's coming into our household, we have taken the time to get to know them, that we're not rushing into anything, and that our children are definitely safe, and then that they are respecting the household the same way that you are not going to want your children walking around the house naked or any other type of way. We need to make sure that whoever is in the home is doing the same. So respecting the household, the ages of our children, and what we're bringing into their space. Now, like I said earlier, the healing journey is real. So on that healing journey, you might want to simply have random sex, and that might be a part of your individual healing journey, and I'm not going to down that at all, but just make sure that you're doing it in a responsible way that it's not putting your children at risk.
So when you say putting the children at risk, what do you mean? Could you be explicit when you say that? Some people may say, I'm not doing anything. You know, if I want to bring somebody up in here and do my thing, you know, why I have to worry about my kids? Because it's actually people that parent like that. They involve their children in their sinning, if you want to call it that. You know,
right.
Tell me what you think about that.
Okay, well, if someone truly feels that it's wise for them to bring someone into their home, make sure it's after their kids are sleeping and before their kids are awake. So it's basically during those hours that they know that their children are safe and sound, and then this individual is not staying, that you're asleep and you're not knowing what's happening in your own home. So that's what I mean by not putting your children at risk.
Well, we should take a break. Chantay, all that stuff. You know that sounds like some stuff your parents did. That's when you was with your own parents. All that stuff. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, Business Talk with D'Anthony Miles. Let us continue our discussion on the topic, divorce and mental health, with our wonderful guest, Shante Thompson, founder of Inspiring Hope Counseling Services, LLC. I had to laugh about that last tidbit.
Have to make it plain.
When you are married and you need to have some me time, there's always that, mm-hmm. your office, what is it, my office hours are from 11 to 12. And when you're a parent, you just, that's what you do. But sounds mm-hmm. like you're saying when you do that, you have to still do that with someone you're seeing this because you don't want, you got the visual image of someone else in your home with your children being exposed to them could be quite dreadful or quite traumatizing. Is that right?
It can be, yes, for sure.
We just
must be careful.
I got to piggyback on this. Now, you're divorced, the new boyfriend, the new girlfriend. Now you try to make it official. What are some of the mm-hmm. things that you've had to deal with kids and need counseling with that, the new girlfriend and the new boyfriend? What are some of the things you've seen when you counsel some of your children clients? What's been some of their issues with that?
Okay, well, I mean, there has been some beautiful relationships there, so I just want to make sure that we do know that it's very much possible to have a blended family, and everyone involved is learning how to navigate their newness when it comes to family. Now, some of the concerns that have come up are, again, discipline, parenting styles. That definitely has come up. And then the bonus parent kind of living on eggshells because they're not sure what it's okay for them to do and what it's not okay for them to do. So some type of boundaries, having those conversations with your partner of how much involved they are okay with you being, and then even having conversations with the other parents that everyone's possibly can be on the same page. That's in the most beautiful world ever, right? Mm-hmm. When we're seeing some families that are still contentious or where it's not as effectively co-parenting type of relationship, the bonus parent really just needs to truly understand what their limitations are. And the children need to understand how much respect is so important. And then the parent needs to definitely set some ground rules and expectations in place so everyone's able to live harmoniously.
I just thought of something while you were giving a great response to that question. This is a really unique situation, so I'm going to make sure I explain it so you can give me a great clinician's insight. All right.
Okay.
You have a parent, they're in a traditional family, and then the parent, the alternative lifestyle, they are gay, and they mm-hmm. want a divorce. And does that cause more problems with the children when they see something like that? Because they're all of a sudden, dad wants to be with a man, or mom wants to be with a woman, and I've seen situations where the children take that very, very hard. What's been your experience with that?
It doesn't have to be extremely difficult. It's really about communication. It's really about transparency, and it's really about helping children to know what's going on. It's when we're keeping secrets and then children mm-hmm. just wake up to a brand new world, then that is what causes major problems for the family. So when we have the traditional family, as you said, and then mm-hmm. the alternative, as you explained it, it's important that whatever the preferences are or whatever the loving relationship is, when it comes to the children involved, they can be happy and healthy in either household, but it's about setting the stage for what that truly is going to be.
Shante, do you think that's an awkward explanation to your children that you went from this dynamic to that dynamic, and because it's got to have some effect on the children, maybe the same effect, if not a different effect, if they're just the parents are just splitting up. But when you bring other people into the dynamic, and this is a completely different dynamic because mommy's now with a woman who, mm-hmm. and they never saw that side of their mother. How do they cope with that? I'm just curious to get your idea on that.
Definitely. Well, first things first, we need to remember that our children want us happy.
Right.
Right? So if we are able to help them to understand that what's making us happy, then they can find ways to accept it. And then what truly is the bottom line is what's the belief systems for each of these families, what's been taught. And that also is going to play a role with what's being accepted and what's not being accepted. So everyone's belief systems can vary, right? So if they are only taught about one type of household or if they're one type of relationship and then something else just pops up, then they might definitely be confused and they might definitely feel like it's wrong, right? But when that family is able to explain to them why this is or help them to understand what made them move in that direction, the child really just wants that person happy.
Interesting. I brought that up for a reason because I had a situation with one of my friends. That mm-hmm. actually happened to her, and I think I didn't, you know, give you the whole scoop on it, but I'll give you the cliff notes on it. The mm-hmm. mother wanted a divorce from the father. The mother found out in her 40s that she thought she was gay, okay, and she wanted mm-hmm. immediate divorce from the dad. And the my friend didn't understand that lifestyle then. We're talking the 80s. It was not as mm-hmm. prevalent as it is now. And then and I want to ask you this too, see if this makes a difference. Well, the mother, because she was a young lady, the mother was dating a woman, and she noticed that the woman was looking at her. And she mentioned this to her mother, and the mother immediately got angry and blamed her.
Blamed the child?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And my friend never, I don't think, ever recovered from that because she was close to her mother at one time, and that made her hate her mother. And mm-hmm. How would you counsel somebody like that? Because it really, that her mother's shift to the lifestyle may not have been a cause of her feeling that way toward her mother. I think she was also angry that her mother left her dad because obviously, mm-hmm. you know, she was close to her dad as well. But when it's a situation like that, do you think that the gender should be different if the mother or parents are into that lifestyle? Should she have been a boy? Do you think the boy would have been affected as the daughter may have been? That's the thing what
I'm
trying to say.
From what you just described, it sounds like what truly affected mm-hmm. the child was the fact that she wasn't heard. She wasn't
uh-huh.
heard
right.
Or even validated when she shared with her parent that she felt that she was being looked at in mm-hmm. in a sexual manner. So the parent didn't validate her, didn't support her, didn't come to her rescue. And that can happen in any type of relationship. That
I
happens
could imagine.
A lot.
Yes.
Where children are going, first of all, they're scared to tell the adult that something has happened. But then once they do, if they're not being heard or if they're being called liars or they're being told that it's not valid, then, of course, that's going to cause some resentment. That's going to cause a shift in the relationship. So from what you're describing to me, I definitely hear you with the gender differences type of stuff, but it sounds like what really affected that child was the fact that she wasn't validated when she shared something so sensitive with the parents.
Absolutely. And my friend, it actually caused a rift between her and her mother, and their relationship was never the same after that. Mm-hmm. And I believe you made it, you make an interesting point. You said something along the lines of the mother didn't address the situation. So in that child's mind, the mother was taking the side of her lover.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that the child processed it that way. Is that right? Is that what you're
mm-hmm.
saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. Hmm. Now, you made a really interesting point where it could be the same thing in another dynamic. Say the mother's dating a man and she has a daughter,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
man, he's a man. What if the girl's right. 15 or 16? He's looking at it as another
right.
woman. How do you get a
mm-hmm.
client to understand that they need to be mindful of that around their children? Because that's a problem, too. Please give me your insight on that.
I mean, that really just speaks to what we spoke about earlier, that we must protect our children.
Mm-hmm.
That is what our gift is, our children, right?
Yes.
So we need to make sure that we are protecting our children and we are thinking outside the box when it comes to whoever we bring into our children's presence.
Absolutely.
And then not take lightly, and then teach our children, because even if this individual is extremely loving and a great support system and showing up for us in different ways and showing up for our children, we need to make sure that there are certain boundaries in place, that our children are not sitting on their laps, or that our children
mm-hmm.
are not in closed rooms, or that that they know what their private areas are. Like, we have these discussions with them, so we are still protecting them no matter what.
That is so scary, because it is, I think, and now you can tell me how you feel about this, about leaving your new man alone with your daughter for extended amounts of time. Is that right?
Yes. So you're asking if that's okay?
No, I'm asking, would that be something that they should not do? That's just something they should be mindful
of. That's something they should be mindful of. I'm not saying don't do it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
when someone is showing up for us and showing up for our kids, trust is built over time. Trust is built in small increments. So when someone has showed up over time in those small increments, they can show us that they can be with our children over extended periods of time. So I'm just saying we need to be mindful that we're not just letting it happen all willy-nilly right away before they've even shown us that they are trustworthy.
Man, that is so awkward and that is so scary, because there have been situations with, that type of thing that goes on, especially in I'm curious as to why would the parent take the spouse's or the lover's side against the child? Is that just guilt talking? What's your clinician opinion about that, Shate?
Oh, my. There can be so many reasons. So I can't even truly speak to that, because that can be from that own parent's upbringing. That can be from denial. That can be from this person is actually showing up for them and they don't want to lose what they have. It could be fair. There could be so many reasons as to why a parent might not believe something is happening. So that's really difficult to answer.
Man, oh, man. Well, we're up to our next break. Hold that thought. We'll take our break. We'll be
mm-hmm.
right back. This is Game All On right. Business Talk with Disney Mouse. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned in to Game On Business Talk Radio with Dr. D'Anthony Miles. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're back. This is Game On Business Talk with D'Anthony Miles. We have our final segment. We have on our topic today on divorce and mental health with our wonderful guest, Sean of Inspiring Hope Counseling Services, LLC. And this has been a great show. We're going to have to probably do a part two on this one. There's so many things that are involved. But I want to run this by you,
mm-hmm.
Shate. Well, okay, we have the situation, it's been in the media with, the ex-retired NBA star Dwayne Wade and his wife, Gabrielle Union. And they have their son, who at 12 years old, stated that he wanted to be referred to as a young lady, a female.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the responses to this has been, you know, rather overwhelming. And one of the things that some of the people have expressed their opinion about is that new spouse making that environment for that child to want to say what he's doing, blaming Gabrielle Union, thinking that because the mother and him are not speaking. I believe Dwayne Wade's ex-wife, they're not speaking. And okay. The mother is on the media stating that she would never allow her son, I think, something to the effect, I'm just being clear, she would never allow mm-hmm. that in her household. Give me your thoughts about that, because you also remember, when you marry someone new, that goes from boyfriend to girlfriend, and you marry someone new, mm-hmm. and that new person that's his wife, she does have some parental rights. And why is that a conflict with the mother and the new wife? What's been your experience with that?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand your question. So you are asking me, when we have a bonus parent,
yes.
and the conflict between the bonus parent and the bio mother, so the
correct.
Bonus mother and the bio mother, you're asking about conflicts between them when it comes to parenting?
Right. Why is that a conflict? We kind of already know, but why is that a problem? What have you seen with that? How do you resolve that?
Okay. Well, how do we resolve that is it's still about each person's household, right? And then it's still about the father setting the tone for what the limitations are with the bonus mother, okay? So the father is setting the limitations, the boundaries, what's okay and what's not okay for the bonus mother to do. And they are each supporting each other when it comes to raising the children. So it's not going to – so the bio mother cannot necessarily blame anything on the bonus mother, because it's the father that is setting a tone for how – the parenting and how they're going to support each other with parenting in that household with the children. So you can't really put it on any one parent. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And a lot of men in this such an awkward situation, because the mother, the bio mother, makes it very hard for him to have a relationship with the children. Now, say if the mm-hmm. children live with him, then you have the other dynamic. I don't want you, don't bring your wife over here when you come pick up the kids. I don't want to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really toxic situation, because isn't the bio mother still trying to force her power on the ex-spouse? Because obviously he's dating a new woman and he has a new wife.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get people to cope with that? Because that's a really, really toxic situation.
It's accepting what you have control of and letting go of what you do not have control of. And when we're able to truly do that, we can live in peace, right? It's really hard to do. But when we start to take note of what we have control of, we have no control over how the bio mom is going to act or react, or if she's still bitter or upset about something. We have no control over that, right? But what we do have control of is how we react and how we carry ourselves. So when we accept what we have control of and let go of what we do not have control of, then we're able to live in peace.
That's probably easier said than done with some of your clients, right?
Oh, for sure. That's what I do. I teach you how to do that.
How are you going to get...
We talk about it. We talk about the irrational thoughts. We talk about the reality of what you have control of and what you do not have control of, and then we talk about ways to navigate each of these concerns. And with that, we're able to get to a better place of peace.
Now, and I know you've dealt with this. Is this some people that are just not going to change, Shantae? Like, could you see yourself sitting in a room with the new wife? Okay,
mm-hmm.
and the ex-wife and the husband, ex-husband, and they're all sitting there talking, and the ex-wife says, I'm not going to accept this, okay? I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to accept this. Have you had situations like that where one person is, how do you cope with that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what's not being accepted, right? Because that's uh-huh. going to make a huge difference with the way that we go about finding resolutions to the issue. So yes. it truly is going to depend on what's not being accepted. And then going back to what we have control of and what we don't have control of. And then everyone's household, you don't have control of the other person's household. So even though a certain parent might not accept what's happening, or they don't want to accept what's happening, if it's not in their household, they have no control over it anyway.
Now, I've seen women do this. Shante, you know, I know you've seen this as well. The women will make false allegations about the children being abused to get the children away from the father. And obviously the court system will, you know, side with the mother most likely, because, you know, allegations have to be proven in court, obviously. And is it just some people that just won't accept that? Have you had to deal with that? They won't accept the new reality?
Okay. Well, definitely. I deal with a lot of individuals that have a difficult time accepting new realities. But we just have to be so careful. Like, yes, it's easy to say and feel that the courts are always going to go with the mother, but I've seen that that's not always the case.
Oh, really?
We have to be able to, we have to be able to have things in black and white, have our facts, set all your ducks in a row, right? And when you can do that, then you have a better chance of having what you truly need. Like here in Florida, judges here or the courts here, they truly prefer for children to have both parents in their lives. So it's less and less of children only living with the mother or only living with one parent.
That is a great idea.
Majority
yes,
of the
absolutely.
Time here in Florida, it's where children are with both parents. They are split time with each parent.
Now, that when you say split time, that means there's no custodial parent and non-custodial parent. That means they both have equal rights. They're both custodial parents.
Yes.
Oh, could you expand on that?
Parenting.
Why does that work better than the other dynamic where the mother is basically the kids stay with her and the mother literally makes decisions about whether you see your kids or not, because that happened to me. Tell me why that works better in Florida as opposed to the traditional model.
Right, and it's changing. So you're seeing it more and more that courts are in favor of children being with both parents, because statistics show and research shows that children need both of their parents.
Right.
And both of them bring a different dynamic to the needs of their kids. So children are able to be resilient when they are able to have those, both households are safe, are secure, are structured. They're able to build relationships with each of their parents. They're feeling loved and adored and treasured by each of their parents. They're growing up healthy. So now their anxiety levels are reduced. The depression is reduced. The behavioral concerns are reduced.
That is really interesting. Now, let me flip this around on the other side. Say if the mother moves on and the mother's obviously married someone else, and the father, and I've seen men do this, they want to meet the man that the mother's dating, and they want to have a talk man to man, and I guess set some ground rules and expectations when the man is, obviously he's going to be the new parent raising the children with the mother. Do you think that's a good idea that the two men talk without the mother being around, or should the mother be around? All three of them should talk.
In my opinion, I think it's important for it doesn't matter if it's the woman that started dating someone or the man that started dating someone. When children are involved, it's important that all of them have a sit down, that they all can come together, because they're all going to be parenting these children. So it's so important if they are able to have a co-parenting relationship, that they're able to communicate with each other, count on each other for the kids' behalf, trust that the other parent, this bonus parent in the home, has their child's best interest at heart. And when you're able to have that type of sit down, you can feel much more comfortable knowing who your kids are around and feel content with it. Now, if that's not able to be done, it's definitely having a chat with the other parent so you're able to feel content and at peace with who's around your kids.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think, you know, you might agree with me on this, Shante. In the media, the step-parent, and not the media, in cinema and movies, they always have the stereotype about the step-parent being the enemy. And based on what you've done with your clients and your cases, is that a stereotype accurate or is it inaccurate with the step parent?
No, it's I'm gonna say there are ways for it not to be that way. So I have found as I'm working with families, by working with me, it gets to a place where there's much more peace and there's much more balance within the homes. I'm not trying to make bonus parents and step parents and everyone be best friends. That's not my goal, but it's helping the children to be in homes that they are not feeling that tension because it stays with them and it comes out and our body keeps the score. So what comes out in our bodies when it comes to anxiety or headaches or issues or sadness or stress levels, like it affects us. So we need to make sure that we're able to communicate in healthy ways with the bonus parents. And I have worked with families that we definitely are able to do that.
I got to ask you this, Shante. I thank you. We wouldn't have a good interview unless I ask you this. So what are some red flags that a parent should pay attention to with a new spouse or new step-parent? What are some red flags?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand you correctly. Red flags, meaning with how they are with our children?
Yes.
Or red flags, period?
Red, which one is more prosperous, period or with our children? Which one's probably better?
I think we can even intertwine them. Red flags,
okay.
Period. If we're not paying attention to the patterns in front of us, then we are causing a detriment to our family. Okay,
absolutely.
So by the way that the bonus individual speaks to us, speaks to our children, speaks to us in front of our children, all of that, we need to remember that we are modeling what our children are going to do or expect growing up. So if it's not a healthy relationship, if it's toxic in any type of way, if they are mistreating us, if they are speaking to us negatively, if they can't carry themselves in a professional type manner when they're angry, if they're having temper tantrums or anger outbursts, like all of these things are red flags for what are they going to do when they're alone with our children if they're doing this in front of me. Right?
Oh,
we need to pay attention to what's happening. Is it truly a healthy relationship? And do we even know how to identify a healthy relationship? Right? So
right.
As long as we are looking and having a healthy relationship and we are happy with the way that we are being treated in front of our children and alone, then these are the small increments of building trust, right? So
right.
It's showing that pattern and building that pattern that they can treat us in a positive way, they can treat our children in a positive way. And then we also need to make sure that we're sitting in the background and observing how they are with our children when they might feel like we're not looking, really just paying attention.
Interesting. Well, goodness. If the listeners want to get in contact with you about your services, I'm quite sure you're going to get blown up after the show.
Well, for sure. Alrighty, so you can definitely contact me by phone. Phone number is 772-302-6191. And then email is info@inspirehopehealthhealing.com. So that's info@inspirehopehealthhealing.com. And then website, of course, is inspirehopehealthhealing.com. I do provide virtual counseling that's by a HIPAA-compliant video for individuals in Georgia and telephonic counseling for Georgia. And then in Florida, I do it all. It could be video, telephonic, or in person.
Oh, that is awesome. I bet you're going to get a lot of calls after this show.
Well, happy definitely, to help.
Thank you. This has been a great show. We may have to do a part two because this is so many issues involved. But this is our show today. We had an awesome show today. I want to thank you, Shante, for coming to our show and blessing us. Shante Thompson, founder of Inspiring Hope Counseling Services, LLC. Thank you so much for joining us today with your knowledge. I think I got my money's worth today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. All righty. Well, we're out of here. Excuse me. Well, we're out of here. That's our show for this today. This is our Game On Business Talk with D. Anthony Miles. We want to thank again Shante Thompson, founder of Inspiring Hope, for hiring Spoke Counseling Services for joining us today. We will see you next week, and we're out of here. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Game On Business Talk Radio with host D. Anthony Miles.